Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-206-23. The appellants are David and Melissa Engel, parcel number 1-0388-302-0002-011. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
This is a residential hearing, so we're going to allow about a half hour for this. The appellant is not present, so I will read from their petition. It says, the comparables that I found within our area do not reflect the new market value assessor's estimate. Also, the land value is very high for our land, which is not appropriate to subdivide. Land value increased 166% and house increased 44%. The appellant has attached nine or 10 comparable sales, some of which were in 2023. I guess a couple of them were in 2023. And the assessor is using at least a couple of those. So, and I note that the assessor has reduced their valuation from their original estimate. So, with that, Jennifer, can we hear from you?
Yes, the assessor's determination of value is $561,870 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. With the appellant's concerns regarding the land, all these comparables, all these homes were located on single family lots like the subject. And again, land is valued based on the land sales that are extracted from the area, and we value on a land acreage scale. So with the comparables, only four of the appellant's comparables were considered, and that is the appellant's comparables number 3, 4, 5, and 8. The other sales from when I was reviewing them, the ones that weren't included, it was due to the, you know, the transaction occurring in 2023 after the effective date, it being a different house type than the subject, or, and this is the case with comp number 2, it was a home that was purchased below market and then remodeled after the sale. So it was improved after the sale, and that was not included in our analysis. For our comp grid here, comp number 10, it's much newer than the subject, but we did include it in order to bracket the subject square footage and lot size. Comparables 1 and 2, those are the most similar in both size and age to the subject. And when reviewing this, the subject's assessed value falls within that lower end of the estimated value range.
Okay, and so you dropped it from
dropped at
88,000. Yeah, I mean, that's a good drop. That's probably why we're not hearing from the appellant today, I imagine. They're probably satisfied with that.
Yeah, the appellant, they were communicated this change because I think it happened back in November. So, again, sometimes they just don't respond.
May have gotten
okay.
Really happy.
Yeah. Well, that's a, yeah, I mean, that's a good drop. So they're probably satisfied with that. So. But the land value didn't change, I take it.
Land value did not change.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of their concerns. Okay. Peter, Chuck, any questions?
I guess I'm curious. The increase across the board there is almost double, you know, from 365 to 650 on the notice. That's huge. I don't know that I've seen one that big. What was kind of precipitated that original number?
Yeah, so this is in active revaluation, this area. And typically in the active revaluation years, that's where you'll tend to see the larger increases because it's been 5 years since we've trended.
Okay.
Since we've been trending.
And what subdivision is that? Is that the new one there by like
that's New Riata. Country
Mercantile?
It's Riata. It's the older section of Riata there.
Oh, the older section. Okay.
Riata had two things happen to it last year when it was it was an active reval, and two, there was such a run on increase in home prices overall, and then these homes, they kind of fit a desirable market where they're on acreage, they're bigger even though they're older, so it was kind of a perfect storm, especially in the Riata area, for why they experienced that larger jump. But, you know, the sales were justifying it, and we all know what the 22 sales were looking like.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, that the I don't know what the road number is, but the Riata is now connected up with like the Badger Mountain Trailhead and that whole subdivision.
And so Bermuda goes through the West Cliff really, now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. I was just kind of curious. That makes sense.
Peter, any questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Chuck, anything further?
No. I just, you know, if the person was here, I would congratulate them on the effort they put in.
Yeah.
Their own spreadsheet and all that. I mean, that's probably the best effort we've seen. So very cool.
Pretty impressive.
It is. Yes. Okay, Marisol, let's close the hearing and we'll deliberate.
Good morning. This is the BOA hearing. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-207-23. The appellants are Jessica and Cody Seal. Parcel number 1-03-88-302-00-02-015. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of the board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their evaluation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the state of to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a residential hearing. The appellant is not present. I will read from their petition. It says only 1.4 acres is usable land. The rest falls into a steep canyon that is on an easement for hiking and is used by the public. The appellant provided no comparable sales or any other form of evidence that I have. So I guess we'll hear from the assessor at this point.
Yes, the assessor's determination of value is $624,660 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. With the appellant's concern regarding the easement and the hiking Steep Canyon, any negative influence on that would be reflected in the market sales there. For instance, it would be reflected in the purchase price of the subject in 2023 in their purchase price. So for any influences like that, again, we rely on the market sales. This property is located in Reval 3, where the homes are on acreage. There are trails there for the horses, and almost every property is affected by an easement. It's just the nature of the area there. When looking at the comparable sales, I will note that due to the lack of the two-story basement comparable sales, the search was expanded up to 5 miles, including two stories with similar square footage and build year as the subject. And the subject's assessed value is falling within that estimated value range.
Chuck, any questions?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. So is the land is where the house is that considered a view home?
We didn't add a view adjustment to that home, no. It does have the steep canyon there, but again, it's all kind of a neighborhood neutral view at that point for all the homes in that area. They're all pretty similar. They're all looking at, you know, just kind of the natural landscape around there. It's not elevated in that it's, you know, up on a mountain or anything like that.
Kind of like pastoral type of view.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a country view.
I assume the easement is not on their property. It's down at the bottom of the canyon.
No, it is on their property.
Oh, it is?
And I think it may be accessed because there's kind of like, I don't know if I can find a map of it.
Let me share the screen really quick and show you exactly what we're looking at here.
I don't have access to the drawing.
Okay. Benton County.
But I guess they obviously, if they bought the property with an easement on it, they obviously knew what they were getting into.
And they paid $677 for it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's, yeah.
It's recent. Yeah, so much for a drop in value in 2023.
And what we have seen is, while a lot of those homes do have those horse trail hiking easements, it just seems like there's still some kind of premium there in Riata with that land over there.
Sure.
It just seems like those values tend to really hold and stay high because you'll see some homes that are 1970s and nothing was done to them. They're still selling for the 600 in the 600s because of the, I think it has to do with that horse trail.
Location. Yeah, well, on the land, yeah.
So they're that highlighted one, and you can see everyone north of Vaca Road there, they all have that same influence on them right there. And, you know, their land's a bit bigger than the people to the south of Vaca Road, but the land values are typically very similar because while you're getting more quote-unquote land, less of it is as usable. As have, you know, yeah, cutting that in half. So it's kind of, at the end of the day, through analysis, it kind of became like a wash.
So that brown at the top, is that the hiking trail or horse trail?
Let's take a peek.
don't have access to the notary.
Exactly. All right, let's do a Google Street View so we can take a peek here.
Okay.
So we're kind of on the trail. Sorry, I'm trying to use a scroll pad versus a mouse. So
so that's the drop off there.
Yeah, it's tough to see, but that's where the drop off is, and then there's the houses behind it. But you can see it's a pretty substantial drop right there.
Well, let me ask something then. If the appellant says so little of their land is usable, I mean, less than half, they seem to suggest. And since there is a large easement on the property, is it possible they could deed that portion, that unusable portion of the property, to the city of Kennewick?
What would they gain by doing that?
Exactly.
Well, less acreage and theoretically. Well, I don't know if that affect land value. Or
so. I don't think it really would, because if we're seeing
all right,
and then they're going for more. I just want to see if there's any other. Yeah, 22. It's basically just kind of a
wash. Okay.
Wash at that point.
Okay.
I'm good.
Chuck, questions? Okay. Marisol, let's close the hearing then, and we'll deliberate.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is the BOA hearing. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. This hearing is for petition 8-210-23. The appellants are Sean and Lindsay Compton. Parcel number 1-0698-201-3686-002. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of the board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to provide their valuation as correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a residential hearing. The appellant is not present. I will read from their petition. This says, I spoke with Zach, the appraiser in my area. He said my 2024 property value was based on 2021 and 2022 home sales in my area. I bought the home in 2021. I paid $520,000 for the home to be built, which was in the middle of the building prices being at an all-time high. Therefore, my tax assessed value should be $88,300 land plus $520,000 home cost, equaling $608,300, or at a minimum not go up in 2024. I also bought belt when interest rates were at all-time low. Homes on the market were very low and demand was very high given interest rates. And they have attached an appraisal done by, looks like Yakima Federal, to support that, but the appraisal was dated in March of 2021, and from the picture shows it was bare land at that time, or maybe some scrapings of it, but But as we all know, when a bank does a appraisal like this, it's for collateralization. It's not necessarily market value. So, and because of its age, I discounted it a little bit. Since this house was being built in 21, when was it finished? Do you guys know?
We have it complete as of 2022. Let me check our 2021 year later. It looks like it was. In 2022 is when we had it completed, yes.
You don't have it a month?
Oh, by the month? Well, we know when the appraiser went out in August of 22, August 9th of 22, it was completed at that time.
So the effective date would be, based off mass appraisal, the effective date of completion would be July 31st, 2022.
Okay. Okay. All right. So Jennifer, go ahead and give us your presentation.
So the assessor's determination of value is $829,670 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant's estimation of value, it doesn't account for the market influences beyond the cost to build and the materials. And so when looking at the comps provided in the appraisal, all of those comps are on lots under 1 acre and they don't bracket the subject square footage to account for the larger square footage. For comp number two, we did consider that in our review, in our comparable sales grid. However, that sale in the appraisal was a 2020 sale, but it resold in 2022 for $689,900. And so we did consider that more recent sale in our review.
You're talking comp, your comp two?
It is 311873. It's our comp four that is the appellant's comp two.
Yeah, 6679 Collins Road.
And so comps 1 through 3 on our comparable sales grid, you know, they all sit on acreage or most similar in size to the subject. These homes sold for more than the subject's assessed value. I did want to note that comp 3, you know, due to the lack of sales of newly built one-story homes, comp 3 is a one-story with a bonus room, but it's very similar in living area and square footage as a subject.
Okay. You referred to the appellant's comps. Mm-hmm. Where, I didn't see appellant's comps. Where are you finding them?
Oh, in the appraisal that he provided.
Oh, okay. It's in the appraisal report.
Yes. Okay.
And there were three sales there.
Yes, there were three sales in there. The first one, so that was a 2021 sale. It was a rambler with the basement, and it's about 1,100 square feet smaller than the subject. We didn't use that
different
one.
Different house type. Okay.
Yeah. Comp two, that one is a one-story. It sold in 2020. As is stated in that appraisal report, but also resold in 2022. So there is a more recent sale that would be relevant for the 23 assessed value. So we did consider that one.
Okay, which one, is that your comp four?
Yes, that's our comp four.
Okay.
So you see the difference in the sales price. In 2020, it sold for $569,000 and then sold for $689,000 just 2 years later.
Okay, but the comp two. Comp two is shown by that their appraiser at $689,000 sale price.
No, their appraiser showed the 2022 sale price, which was $569,728. The appraisal report was conducted before it sold in 2022.
Well, I'm looking at page 2 of 35 of their appraisal, which says comp two, and it says sales price for comp two is $689,000.
But it sold in 2022. So, and it was prior to this appraisal being done in March of 2021. That's interesting.
Maybe he's prescient.
Maybe it was a listing. Is that possible?
I don't know. He says it says sale price, so I don't.
What's the PID on comp 4?
PID on comp 4 is 311873.
Let's look what we have in our deeds and sales. That's interesting. So according to our deeds and sales records that we have for comp 4, which is the appellant's comp 2, we have a sale in May of 2020 for $569,728. And then we have a sale in 2022 for $689,900.
Okay, $569,000 and what?
So May 8th, 2020, our comp 4 and the appellant's comp 2 sold for $569,728. And then October 6th of 2022, it sold for $689,900. I wonder if the fee appraiser typoed.
But he completed it in March of 2021 before it was even sold. That's weird.
He shows a 5/21/20 sale, but up above he says 689,000. So I don't know.
Well, it's interesting with his adjustments, he comes out
732. Yeah.
732, and you guys got 729. So that's, you know, the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's weird. Okay. Did you use his comp three?
No, that one is a 2020 sale. So due to the lack of relevance at this point, we didn't include that one.
That's really weird on comp two.
Yeah, I'm kind of, well, where did I get the 589?
You got
69 from our records?
From our records. So I'm curious if this is a retroactive appraisal.
Oh,
I'm going to take a look and see if it was a retroactive. And then he just inadvertently put the 22 of sale in there by mistake.
Oh,
I'm just guessing.
Okay, that would make sense.
Well, I mean, I see a 3/29/21 date.
Yeah, but you can use a retroactive effective date if you're doing it for a specific purpose.
But you got to use the right
sale price. Because then that 22 sale didn't technically exist.
Yeah, but I think he would have, this was done for the bank. So for the bank to have issued a loan to allow for the construction, it would have had to have been done fairly close to the purchase date of his land to be finished in July 31st of 2022. So,
yeah.
He signed the report in March of 21.
Okay. So I don't know where he...
That's why I say the guy's prescient. What can I say? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so 29 county. Yeah, there. Okay, so 08-29-870 is below the meet well below the median price.
Well, to me, though, it looks like the comp one and two are quite a ways away.
Yeah, I saw that
It's a
too.
different subdivision almost or something. I don't know. Is that just to get the same kind type of house?
Does that mean?
With the same acreage, yeah.
So to
Yeah.
elaborate on that, that area of West Richland, and I can bring it up on a map
I
really.
can
You got
show.
it?
I
Okay.
got.
They have 2.5 acre lots to the north, and then there's 2.5 acre lots to the east. And it's kind of bisected with a little bit of like a typical subdivision in the middle of it. Jen's bringing it up right now. So the two
Okay.
comps one and two were very similar to the subject, and they're in that eastern 2.5 acre portion
Oh,
versus
okay.
northern portion, but they're extremely similar. So, and then the other thing to keep in mind when you're looking at acreage land, you know, if your house, if you have homes that are right next to each other and they're both on 5 acres, one home is on one corner and one is on the other corner, you're already like over a mile at that point anyway. So, you know, when you look at
Oh.
these types of things, that's why that distance can be a little bit bigger in those instances.
Okay.
Yeah, it might bring down the median a little bit, but then you'd only have three sales, so.
Right.
And when someone is looking for a home that's on acreage, you know, they're if there's limit, these are t these would both these areas are along the same stretch of Bombing Range Road. You know, a buyer is going to look at both of these corridors. They're both in Willamette Heights. They're going to look at both for options on what's available. So it draws the same market.
Where is Bombing Range Road? Is that the road
It's
right in the
this
middle there?
curving
Yeah.
one. If I
I
can
see
see my
it.
cursor move,
Yeah, I got
yeah.
it.
This is it here. Okay.
Okay.
And then over
And
time,
it
developers have filled in these two quadrants.
and I'm like if I'm familiar with that area, where is Yokes in that picture? Is it
Yeah, hold
that?
on. I can Google
Yeah,
that really quick.
it's on Bombing Range Road. Is it that
Yeah, I think it
right
is. Yeah.
there?
Thought it was further north by Van Giesen.
It is 1401 Bombing Range Road. So if I bring that up in the map and then show you 1401 Bombing.
Is it that part that isn't subdivided there with the trees behind it?
Or that lot right next to it, maybe
Yeah,
that's kind of
it's kind
it's
of in the
gonna.
center.
It's that white building right
Yeah, right
there.
there. Okay. Yeah,
Here.
that's what I thought
That's
it
it
might be.
right
Okay,
there.
yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
It's kind of in the
I'm
center
just
of that
trying to,
lot.
yeah. Okay.
Well, the homeowner should actually be thankful his home is appreciating in value, right? Since he
Yeah,
purchased
what
it.
he's saying, he got a great interest rate too, so.
Yeah, and you got to go. What's to argue here? Okay. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
Nope, I don't have any.
Peter?
Peter, you're on mute.
Sorry.
Peter, he's muted. Okay.
For the rules, there's no logic that he could use a cost method, right?
No, he could. But then it's gonna have, I mean, the question is it's an order of precedence from what we have to look at. And the first order of precedence is sales, then cost.
And costs don't take into account any market influence,
Yeah.
you know, the additional premium that's added with the market increasing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes more sense to be consistent to use the market approach. You know, his cost, if you use cost approach, which he did put at the bottom of his page, you know, the 180,000 for the lot and the 520 for the house, so that's 700,000. And if you look at the fair market value roughly 2 years later, that's an 18.5% increase in the cost.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was actually finished in, you know, May of 22, or excuse me, by July of 22.
Mm-hmm, right.
So the cost increase from then, 22, where we're getting just now past COVID at that point, although there was still a supply chain issue at that time, I think.
Yeah, and from an appraisal standpoint, cost is always a good starting point. And cost can also be a really good gut check. But if you're looking at market, you know, an opinion of value for the purposes of the market, cost is very typically a secondary consideration. But if you see a huge gulf, it might be something where you'd want to examine further at that point.
Well, and you guys still use a combination of cost and market in doing your mass appraisal?
Correct. So whereas we don't break it out individually the way a fee appraisal would, we start with the cost approach, and then we apply market adjustments to that cost approach to arrive at an assessed value.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Chuck, anything further?
No.
Peter, anything further?
No, sir.
Okay. Marisol, let's close the hearing. We'll deliberate.
Good morning. This is the BOA hearing. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-211-23. The appellant is Marcus McGrath, parcel number 1-3599-402-0001-021. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Mr. McGrath? Okay, good. Thank you.
Following this hearing, the board will need to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing, so we allow about a half hour for this. The first 10 minutes, I'd like to hear from the appellant, and then we'll hear from the appraiser for another 10 minutes, and then we'll have some questions back and forth, and then we will adjourn and deliberate. So, Mr. McGrath, you may proceed.
Yes, thank you. So, Marisol is with us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Quick question. I just want to verify. Since earlier this morning, I did send the form back to Jennifer and Marisol. Originally, the hearing was going to be for two residences, but it's only for one. I just want to confirm that.
Yes, that's my understanding. I understand that you stipulated on the second property.
Yes, came to an agreement with the amount assessed by the assessor on the readjustment. So we're only speaking about the Kennewick residence now.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to clarify. And then I'm not overly as well prepared as I wish I was today. So the assessed amount that is proposed by the assessor for the residents was, again, what was that about that is showing?
Let me get here real quick.
106,020.
Okay, thank you. So I did feel that was a little high. I did receive from a different assessor last fall some comparables, that of which a couple of those I wanted to maybe point out during the hearing if possible, that Zach Avery provided that show values a bit lower than that. He also had comparables that were closer to that 406 or higher, but there were a few that were lower. Chiefly the home is definitely showing some wear and tear these days. It has been a rental property for me now for some time. One of the concerns recently is the roof of the home has the older cedar shake shingles. Had to have a company come in to locally, there are a company that specializes in extending the life of those type of roofs. So we have some work done there.
Is that like an oil spray on the roof?
The company is called Cedar Roof Specialist locally in Tri-Cities. I don't recall exactly the material they're putting on there, but they do replace some shingle. They do replace, when they come in and work on these older shingle roofs, they replace some fraction of them that are, you know, and then they have some kind of a washdown that they do.
Okay.
So I don't, unfortunately, there's some technical side. I don't know all the details, but they are a local company that's been doing this for years locally.
Cedar roofs only have a life of about 25 years. So.
Yeah, so this one's going way beyond that at this point. Home also, and I know it doesn't maybe bear much bearing in the hearing, but the home next door that is, if you enter the home, it's the biggest home immediately to the left, which is on Canal Street. It's almost like they turned that place into a, I don't know if they got a business going on there, but it's almost like a parking lot with vehicles on the property. And they built some kind of a structure that I'm surprised they got permitting from the city to do next door too, which almost just gets to the point where it almost potentially impedes the view if you're on the deck looking forward. That's all within the last year or two that whenever that residence there was purchased with the current resident.
Well, so, the assessor has confirmed that this is not considered a B lot or B property.
Okay. I guess I assumed it maybe was, is there such thing as a parcel view lot, or is there only view or no view?
It either is or isn't. In this case, it isn't.
Okay. All right. A little surprised by the fact that that designation is not on there with the relationship to the river there. And then again, some of these comparables that were actually sent to me, I guess it was from Zach Avery, the previous assessor on this at an earlier point in time. There are a couple of residences there that he identified. One's on 903 North Keller Street, and the other one is on 611 North Yelm, same street as mine. And both of those homes were showing with what he shows as the adjusted sell price, which I don't know if I know the terminology exactly. There's a sell price and an adjusted sell price, so I don't, maybe Jennifer can explain to me what that means. But those are down in the 380s range, so I was, you know, hoping and considering we might be closer to that range.
Yeah, one sale does not a market make. So, I mean, that's why we look at multiple sales, and we look to see, you know, what's the range of those sales? Where are you with respect to, say, the median of those sales? So the adjustment, the nature of the adjustments are made to make the subject property as close as possible to your property. In other words, if the sale property has more or less square feet, they will make an adjustment. If the lot sizes in a neighborhood pretty much stay the same. You might have different characteristics like garage size or number of bathrooms. I mean, there could be any number of things that cause them to make an adjustment. So in one case here, yeah, it was the 611 North Yelm that you mentioned only has two bathrooms. Your property has three bathrooms, so they made a positive adjustment to make it look like the same. It has fewer square footage than your property, so they made a positive adjustment to bring that up to equivalent square footage. And they made an age adjustment to make it equivalent to your 1979 property. And so that's why the adjusted sale price is higher than the sale price, is that they're trying to make that property as comparable as possible to your property.
Okay, so I think I understand. And again, that was the 611. And then another example of that, again, was the comp number 5, 903 North Keller Street. That one is another one in that listing.
Okay, wait a minute. I don't see Keller Street on what I'm looking at.
Oh, it's Keller, 903 North Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R.
It's not on the listing. Jennifer, is that?
It was identified as comp number 5 on the.
Well, and what I'm looking at for comp 5 is 2516 West Grand.
Is it on North Keller or South Keller, Mr. McGrath?
The one identified from Zach was on North Keller, 903 North Keller Street.
Okay.
Was the information that Zach gave you, was it just a list of sales, like on a spreadsheet?
No, this was an email correspondence he sent to me on November the 2nd, 23, and it had multiple PDF files in it. And this was
so
one
George,
of them.
George and the board, if you guys look at pages 7 and 8 of the assessor's answer, that's that ratio sheet that,
right.
And it does show Keller on there, 903 North Keller as a tri-level 1958 sale, $350,000. But the subject property being a split, if you looked at the just above those, there's the 5 split entries that sold in the neighborhood. Because the ratio sheet that we give out to people is going to show every single sale of every single house type in a given neighborhood.
Okay. And so the subject property is what type of house, split or tri?
So the subject is a split entry. However, we'll say that the comp grid does include older split entry and tri-level homes.
Was there some reason you didn't include the Keller Street property?
Where is that in relation?
It likely is due to the square footage. It's under 2,000 square feet. It's 1636. So it's significantly smaller. And we had 6 comps that were much more, 8 comps that were much more in line.
Okay. Sounds like we lost the appellant.
No, up here.
Okay. Oh, you're here. Okay. I thought I heard something.
Probably my own computer I'm sitting next to. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Mr. McGrath, this is what's called an evidentiary hearing. And in other words, it's up to you to bring us evidence to support the valuation you requested. And you really haven't done that from what I can see. I mean, you're making references to the assessor's comps. But you really didn't bring us anything that supports the valuation you requested. Yeah.
No, other than describing some of the details of the home, but I guess that's not apparently sufficient either.
Well, it depends. When they say, for instance, your house is a grid class 30, which means it's an average construction house. And it's also grid condition 3, which means it's of average condition for its age. And when they say average condition, that usually factors in a lot of, you know, deferred maintenance. People will do have deferred maintenance. So if it's a reasonable amount of deferred maintenance, then it would stay at average. Now, if you claim that it's beyond an average amount of deferred maintenance, then you would have to demonstrate that to the assessor, and then they would consider dropping it from good to fair. But okay, so I don't know what other, you talked about the roof is probably beyond its useful life, but what other characteristics of the house do you think are beyond normal wear and tear for its age?
Probably beyond that, it probably is a little overdue. It probably doesn't count either. A bit overdue probably for a exterior painted job. The upper deck also has probably needs a little bit of support work on it. And then inside the home, and I don't know if the is criteria that matters, but such things as the kitchen is pretty dated. There's not been any real upgrades going on there either. So those are some of the other items.
Yeah, but again, you know, a dated kitchen is consistent with the age of the home, and it's considered. For instance, if you upgraded the kitchen, if you did things to make the house look more modern, they might even actually raise the condition to above average, right? So, right. So where you're at right now is, at least I haven't heard anything, and Jennifer, chime in, please. But I haven't heard anything that would suggest it's other than average condition for its age.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you just sound like, Mr. McGrath, there is some deferred maintenance. The roof needs to be replaced, you know, needs new paint on the exterior. But a lot of that stuff and on the interior as well, is a lot of that's just, that's typical wear and tear, in that we depreciated the home to account for the fact that it's a 1978 build, and that a lot of those big items, you know, are original. So we did take that into account. And so the average condition, I mean, it's been maintained to, you know, a minimum level to where it's, you know, it may have the dated kitchen, but there's nothing above and beyond where like it needs major repairs to really make it marketable.
I would add too, one plus, Mr. McGrath, is, and I'm on the volunteer board here, and it's a plus that you are counted as no view, when in fact you do have a partial view. So that worked to your advantage in the appraised value.
Okay.
Comp 8 is a, and Mr. McGrath, I don't know if you see this on your version, Comp 8, I included it because it is a view lot. It's right on Canal, the direct view of the river. It's at 2703 West Canal Drive. And I included that as Comp 8 to kind of show that difference where you don't really have that full beneficial view of the river.
Yeah, when I was looking at those comps, we, like ones I mentioned here earlier, we talked about is, I noticed, again, I just noticed that they were down in the 380s range. So I was kind of just zooming in on that fact for future.
Right, but there are other ones that are, you know, over 400,000, some, you know, so we can't just look at one comp and say, oh, okay, your house meets that, and so that's the value we'd adjust to. We have to look at all comparable sales and see how does your house fall within those comparable sales. So
right.
What I'm seeing right now is they're showing me, based on these 8 comps, including that one view house, but again, they adjusted out the views. So the median estimate is, well, actually the The minimum is $387,890. The maximum is $458,320. So you fall well with, you know, well within the middle of that range. And that's sort of what we look at. I mean, is there anything, we haven't heard anything that would suggest it would be other than, you know, that type of a value of the property. I mean, you described some deferred maintenance items, but again, from what I'm hearing, that's normal wear and tear for the age of the home. And the assessor explained that they've already adjusted for that in the depreciation value. So, well, what, at this point, why don't we hear from the assessor then?
Okay. Yeah, so the assessor's determination of value is $406,020 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. Again, we've already addressed that the property is not valued as a full view property. It has the standard lot value of $70,000, which is the lot value that we apply to all homes with no view in that area. And just again, additionally, we do have the home depreciating at the average rate for a 45-year-old home with the condition 3 rating. The comparables provided in our comparable sales grid, these, they're all older split entry tri-level homes. They, comp one is the most similar in size and location as the subject. It is 11 years older. Comp eight, I already mentioned again, that's the one I included because it does have a view to show that difference in the valuation. And I will note that comparable six, I know it states that is a 2023 sale there. But it did sell in 2021 for $349,950. And so the adjusted sales price, this again, Mr. McGrath, is at 611 North Elm Street. That adjusted sales price of $387,890, that is based on the 2021 sale.
Anything further, Jennifer?
No additional comments.
Okay. Anything further, Mr. McGrath?
No, just another, I guess, deferred maintenance is the home also does not have a an automatic sprinkling system, which I seem to be the expectations of homes these days, but I guess I've been following that category of likewise from what you said earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that but that is consistent with a home of that age.
Yeah. One downside is that property there on that street does not have the homeowners there. There's no irrigation water, which is a little unpleasant for folks, but I'm not sure that on that criteria conversation.
Yeah. Well, that's a KID problem. So.
Right.
Again, you know, whether it has or hasn't, you know, is that consistent with all houses in that area or is it just?
I don't know how wide that neighborhood reaches where there's no irrigation availability. When I had moved to that house way back in 01, been a rental for me since 12, I think I learned that there was a time period, maybe when that was an option, but neighbors at that time period, whatever that was, opted not to go that direction. So I don't know if KID's revisited the neighborhood or I don't know, but that's not something that's available, at least not through that area of North Elm there.
KID will charge you. Are you paying an irrigation assessment for that property?
Trying to remember if I am, because everything's through escrow, so it may be.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's not real obvious to me, I guess, that I am.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I do know that there are properties in the KID district where you pay the irrigation assessment, but you don't receive the irrigation water. So,
right.
Okay.
Now that you posed that question, I am going to go frame that out because I guess I wasn't aware of that fact.
Yeah. So if you're paying for irrigation assessment, but you're not receiving the water, then you might want to talk to KID and find out, well, what would it take to get the water?
Right. Yep.
Okay. There may in fact be an easement on your property that allows for a KID easement. You never know. But then they'd probably have to install a water line in there, digging up a trench to put in a water line. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Peter, Chuck, any questions?
No, I'm good. I don't have any.
Peter, you're okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. McGrath, anything further?
Nope, I think that's it.
Okay. Marisol, let's close the hearing and then we will deliberate.